that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Imagine many of you are familiar with Frank Sinatra's song, I Did It My Way. Sorry for that. Due to our sin, there is a wall that's built up, a partition between us and God. And you understand, there are many things in our lives that we shouldn't do our way. And I want to tell you, one of those is making our approach to God or our approval to God. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 11. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. All of our hostility is incapable of being scaled by any human being. I don't say this because I've envisioned this of my own mind and ideas and thoughts. It's just because that's what the Word of God teaches. Lim, would you pray over our sermon and our text this morning? Listen to what Paul said in these four verses. In Him, His will, His glory. And you see, Paul wants us to understand it is through Him that we have received this inheritance. My mother tells me, I don't remember this that well, although the traces of it are still there, but my mother tells me I was pretty stubborn as a little boy, just a little fella. I had the mindset that I wanted to do things my way, and I wanted to do it on my own. I didn't want help. You know, like maybe when I was just a little fellow learning how to tie my shoes, I would get upset if she wanted to help me because I wanted to do it myself. It seemed so right to me. I should be able to do this on my own. My pride wouldn't allow me to simply accept the help that at the time I absolutely needed. The Apostle Paul, in this opening letter to the to the church at Ephesus, is encouraging them what they have and reminding them not to rely upon themselves for their inheritance. This is just a map giving you a general idea where Ephesus is. It was in the province of Rome at the time, Asia, province of Rome in Asia. And the red dot on the lower right-hand corner, the Mediterranean Sea in the center. The red dot in the lower right-hand corner is the approximate where Jerusalem is. And the red dot and the other red dot is approximately where Ephesus Ephesus is. Ephesus is now part of modern-day Turkey. And it's interesting to note, to me, Paul wrote this letter. It's one of his prison letters, along with Philippians. He wrote this while he was in jail. You get into the mind of Paul there. Paul cares so much and is so concerned that they understand what it is they have in Christ that he's setting there in prison because of his faith, and he's writing back and encouraging others. You may remember in your study of Acts that the churches in Ephesus were established partly by Rome, but also by Priscilla and Aquila. We also know that Timothy took part in the churches in Ephesus. Timothy was a pastor there, and we could read the letters that Paul wrote to Timothy in our New Testament. The city of Ephesus was well known in the ancient world for having a large temple. A large temple, some 350 foot long by 180 foot wide, a temple to Artemis by the Greeks, and the Romans might have often called her Diana. A god that supposedly was someone that you would go to in an attempt to resolve fertility issues or concerns of what was happening in nature, maybe your crops. So if you were in Ephesus at that time, or obviously people come from all around because of how big this was, this temple, the early Greek historians call it one of the seven wonders of the world. It's no longer there. This is all that's left of the temple. But people would go there to worship and to call upon Diana in the hopes that somehow it would help their issues, their fertility issues, or something to do with the land, or even those who were hunting may call upon Diana to help them in some way. You may remember the tussle in Acts. In your study again in Ephesus, when the crowds cry out concerning the worship of Artemis. When they heard this, they were enraged and were crying out, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." Does anybody remember what was going on at this time when this happened? Paul had come into the area and he was preaching the truth of Jesus Christ. Quit worshiping these false idols that can do nothing for you. Quit reaching out to other things. Seek power only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And there were those who were pushing back, those who were fearful. And specifically in Acts, we read about those who were the silversmiths. And I would imagine you can envision what these silversmiths was concerned about. They were concerned about the money they were making on the false idols that were being made for Diana or Artemis. So they sing out praises, trying to cover up what Paul was trying to do. Paul's pulling them one way, and there's others in the crowd trying to pull them in the other way. However, Ephesus, there was a beachhead for Jesus Christ. There was a church that started, and there were people beginning to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, and Paul wants to encourage them, those who had turned to Jesus Christ. He encourages them to focus on and trust and believe upon Jesus Christ. Stand on the promises, as we sang this morning. Paul emphasizes in this letter something that we've recently studied in Wednesday night Bible study. And I know for you and I, maybe this is not that important, but from that perspective, you've got to understand it was extremely important at that time, especially for the early church, many of them who were Jews, who were coming to understand and grasp this idea that God came, Jesus Christ came for all, not just for the Jews. And again, in this same letter, later on in chapter 3, the mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. You see, back in those days, and to some extent it's still there in our world, there were some people that had this concept that there were different gods and in different areas, and you had to worship different gods when you're in those areas. You can see in the battling and throughout, as you read in the history in the Old Testament, sometimes those who were fighting were concerned about who they should worship when they were in certain areas. See, Paul is proclaiming, as we do here this morning, that Jesus Christ is the God of all, regardless of who they are. The Word of God teaches whether Jew or Greek, American or Russian, black or white, Mexican or Canadian, there is but one pathway to find the one true God, and that is through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. Paul's speaking to a people that he considered followers of Jesus Christ. in Ephesus. So you can see on the one hand, he's telling them what they have, but he's also encouraging them to hold tightly to that. He calls them fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And he says them of them that they are members of the household of God. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are a fellow citizen with the saints and members of the household of God. They now worship the one true God through faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those who have made that choice, He wants them to understand God is offering grace and peace. Receive that grace and peace as you live for Him. And He reminds them who they are, or maybe I should say, whose they are. And He speaks of an inheritance. I would imagine some of you here this morning at some point in your life have received an inheritance. Or maybe even you know of one that might be coming at some point in your life. And for the most part, when that happens, there's a little bit of positive side of it. Now, there's a little dread, right, because someone has passed away in order for you to receive it. But yet there's a positive side of it. There's something there that you're going to receive. An inheritance is often something that you gained, but you did not work for it. Someone else did all the work. My wife and her sister received an inheritance when her family passed away. That inheritance was all worked for and prepared and set aside by her parents. Her and her sister did nothing. They did absolutely nothing to receive that inheritance. Jesus has laid out an inheritance for you and I. But we each need to choose to pick it up. Paul has some things to say about this inheritance. He says, God chose to do it. You know, not everyone who dies or is intending or thinking about dying puts aside a will or writes out a will as to who's going to get what. So sometimes what happens afterwards is not really the will or the intention of the one who passed away. And as you probably know, some of you, if you've lived very long, you probably know of some ugly situations that happen sometimes during an inheritance process. That's true, even if there is a will. But especially if there is not a will. You could just about pick up the newspapers on a regular basis and see on an international level, all these fighting amongst who's going to receive what because somebody didn't make it clear what they were going to receive. Sometimes it gets complicated. But I can tell you, it is not complicated receiving the inheritance that Jesus Christ has left for us. Jesus says it's simple. It's so simple a child can receive it. Faith and understanding, faith and acceptance of what His Word says. And Paul says, he speaks some words that sometimes are challenging. Some people have different views of it, but he talks about predestination. He talks about being according to His purposes, according to the counsel of His will. And elsewhere in the Bible, it says it was determined before the foundation of the world. You see, Jesus Christ, when He went to the cross, He was thinking of you and I. He did that intentionally, knowing full well what He was doing, and He did it with you and I in mind. It was no accident. It was no, those individuals had no true power over Jesus Christ. He gave Himself over to them, and He did that. He was thinking of you and I as He was dying on that cross. Paul says in his letter that it was true that they were once strangers. He's speaking to the letter to the church in Ephesus. You were once strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So early on, he's telling them how things are and what the inheritance is there in the beginning. In chapter 1, but in chapter 2, he reminds them of where they were. You at one point, you before you chose to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, whether you were worshiping Artemis or Diana, or you were worshiping some other false god, or whether you worshiped yourself, worshiping your family, worshiping money or power, whatever it is you were worshiping, when you chose to quit worshiping those things and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you then receive that inheritance. But he want to remind them where they came from. At one point, you were strangers and you were without hope. But praise be to God, you had chosen to put your faith in Jesus Christ. You have received his inheritance. God also says, Paul also says concerning his inheritance, he says, God will mark his people. He will mark his people. He will mark them as his own. And he uses terminology here on how he goes about or what that entails. My father, who's still very much alive, has made out a will. And he knows who's going to receive his inheritance. I want to tell you, Jesus Christ also knows who will receive his inheritance. The Bible speaks of books being written down. The names are already there. Jesus has documented who are his. And he says, currently, those when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he stamps us as his, indwelling us with the Holy Spirit of God. And I like some of the words he used. He talked about us being sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. Every time I see that word sealed, I think about my grandmother and her canning. Right? Those of you who have done any canning or you know how it works, right? You have the mason jar and you have the lid and you have the metal lid on top, and then you have whatever that other lid is that has the little rubbery section. What's that called? What's those? You guys help me. I can't think. I'm sorry. You have the outer ring and then you have the top that seals. I'm sorry. A flask. Flap. Oh, flat. Okay. Flat. There you go. You have a flat lid. You don't put that flat lid in, it ain't going to seal. And have you ever had an issue where you've known of an issue where somebody did some canning and then later on you walk out for some reason, a seal released? What happens? Throw the food out. It's not any good. That seal is important. You got to do it right. You got to get that seal. You don't have to have the right type of lid. I want to tell you, Jesus Christ knows how to seal his people. Paul says, you've been sealed. Those of you who have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been sealed. You've been marked as one of his. He says, he speaks of the Holy Spirit being a guarantee of an inheritance until we acquire the possession, the complete possession. So this guarantee is an idea like a down payment, like you've been given a little section of it, a little taste of what is to come. The Holy Spirit gives us this peace in the midst of the trials and tribulations of this life, and a sense in our heart of what's right and what's good. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to understand. Paul says to the church in Corinth that without the Holy Spirit of God, you can't understand the things of God. He's opened up our eyes. This guarantee, this taste of what we will ultimately have. Again, he speaks of this ultimate acquirement. That is someday, that is when we pass from this life into the next, or if Jesus just says it's enough for this world, then we will truly receive our inheritance. But until that time, we have received it in a sense that we've been marked as his. We've been sealed by him. And I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ knows how to create a seal. However, receiving this inheritance requires a move on our part. That is, believing upon the gospel of your salvation. Gospel just means the good news. Receiving the gospel of your salvation. Trusting and believing in it. That is, not understanding it all. Listen, I've been studying this Word of God for years, and it amazes me sometimes what I see and what I understand and what I begin to grasp that I didn't grasp before. There's much to learn here. I by no means have it all figured out, and I'm fully capable of making mistakes and saying things that are wrong and switching up words. That's what I love about our study on Wednesday night, because we all get a chance to share and discuss, and I too get an opportunity to learn. But we need to accept it with childlike faith, just trusting of what Paul had said and what the Word of God says about the Lord Jesus Christ. The wall that separates us and God is taken down when we choose to believe upon His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news of our salvation. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Nobody sitting here has a more right than me or anyone else to say, I earned this right. The Bible makes it so clear, none of us have earned the right to receive that inheritance. It comes through faith in Jesus Christ. There is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way to death. I want to encourage you this morning, don't do it your way. Do it God's way. Trusting in His Son with childlike faith. Not understanding it all, but simply saying, I believe, I trust. And allowing that Holy Spirit to guide and direct you in your lives. Yes, Paul encourages, as a matter of fact, the whole New Testament is an encouragement of doing right, living right, honoring God with your life. But I want to tell you, all that stuff is nothing. But what does Paul say about all his good works concerning his salvation? Anybody remember? It's all but filthy rags. All of the things that I've done compared to what Jesus Christ has done for me is nothing but filthy rags. It's all through Him. Praise to Him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You. We thank You for Your grace, Your mercy. We thank You for Your love. We thank You, Lord, that You sent Paul to go and speak to Ephesus in a time when they were worshiping this false god, as well as many others, Lord. Lord, we know there are people here today in our communities and elsewhere that are worshiping many things, and quite often themselves. Lord, we hope and pray that they would turn to You, Lord, and if there be anything that we can do as individuals and as a church, guide us that we may do as Paul and draw them unto You so that they may receive that inheritance that You so freely want to give. We thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you sense anything in your heart, a drawing, a need to pray? I just want you to know the altar is open. Engage the waiting. charge of that seal and not me. Mm-hmm. Teresa, would you close us in prayer this morning, please?